And our guest on the Made of Clay Report for this hour is Sarah Court. Welcome, Sarah.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here. Could you give us just a quick thumbnail sketch of who you are before, as we start this hour of conversation?
I am just a fun-loving new Ithacan.
yes, in the last 2 years, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So. Okay. And you brought for the first selection a song by Etta James, her signature song, At Last.
Yes.
And we're going to start that. Do you want to say anything by way of introduction of that song?
This is just a special song to me. It was my wedding song.
Oh, really?
And so it played while I was walking down the aisle. So.
Excellent. Well, this is Etta James, and this is an early recording of At Last. And that was Etta James and her standard At Last. And our guest this morning on the Made of Clay Report is Sarah Court. Sarah, what are some of the pieces of your life, of your history, that kind of make who you are, so we can begin to fill in the picture on the show here?
Sure. I really love that song uh-huh. that just played. And I really love Etta James, and it's really interesting because somebody at my age doesn't, people don't expect to have the full appreciation of Etta. However, due to new movies and things like that, you get that picture, which
right.
is
and,
great.
And for the listeners to know, at your age would be at 25.
You're never supposed to tell.
I understand.
I'm just kidding.
I understand. But, you just left yourself wide open to that comment. I mean, but it's true. It's true.
Fine.
It's true. But it's funny. My son, who's 19, is also a big jazz standards fan.
Sure.
And this is also the music, although he tends to listen. He doesn't listen to the women as much, not as much as I do. But okay. Anyway, so.
Yeah. A lot of a lot of the music now, our current music, doesn't really have as much of the richness and quality, I mm-hmm. believe.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to find a good song. And that leads me into myself, I guess.
Sure, sure.
I really like quality items, whether that be music or television or people. And so, yeah, that song and my life kind of leads me mm-hmm, to that.
Mm-hmm. What has defined your life? How have you come to focus around this notion of finding the quality? What issues, what things that you kind of lived through helped kind of get your focus there?
Sure. I grew up in New York City, and I grew up in Harlem, and I lived in Harlem briefly, you know, for my whole life. So
right.
briefly in the 80s, in the 90s, and I just saw a lot of the differences that happened through those different years, and whether it be violence or aggression or movements or people really getting together socially to make our community better.
Mm-hmm.
I really lived through that. And so when I was younger, I would go shopping and, you know, I'd get a little money to buy anything, and I'd get items of clothing and they'd be awful and they'd fall apart.
Right.
You know, a couple of weeks or a couple of washes, and I hated that. And I always wanted to have just quality ever since then. And it wasn't just like a superficial clothing type thing, but
right.
just the richness of people. And I think people in Ithaca can identify with that a little bit in terms of quality. I used to, I grew up in New York City, which is a pretty transient time.
And also,
transient town.
And Harlem is also a very varied area from, and there are mm-hmm. extremes within the different neighborhoods
sure.
within the blocks. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, as transient as it was, I always wanted to have people that really meant something and
mm-hmm.
Be around people that were a good stock, I would say.
Right, right.
And I really identify with that a lot. And then here in Ithaca, I feel like it's pretty similar in terms of people coming and going.
Mm-hmm. So the transience is the same. And how do you identify what's good stock from your experience?
I feel like I've had a pretty good time meeting genuine people mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. the most haphazard of ways, whether they be walking up the street or at a show or anywhere. I've really had a great chance to meet a lot of people, and I get a feel of people after a couple of visits and
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
go from there.
So do you find the people in Ithaca to be much similar to the New Yorkers in terms of their stodginess, or are they more accessible, or are you just more outgoing? What's the significant variable here?
Well, I'm definitely outgoing. There's no question yeah. about that. There's also a great intellect that's similar in New York City versus in Ithaca.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there's also some significant differences.
Right, 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 right.
So it
right.
really all depends.
Right, and what I've, New York is more of an East Coast city than the Midwest where I grew up, where people were just more spontaneously open to meeting. And what you were saying before, oftentimes when you meet people obliquely, just kind of like in the grocery store or at mm-hmm. a show or on the bus, you tend to meet them in an unguarded way, in which
sure.
case you kind of get a direct access to maybe not the depth or breadth of their life, but a direct access to a piece that has an integrity that we don't often have when we're in more formal work or entertaining sessions.
Yeah.
You know, people's visiting sessions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I heard some random quote somewhere that if you meet the same person three times accidentally,
right.
that's a better foundation for a friendship than a forced interaction.
Right.
I thought that was really interesting.
Like a staged meeting or set up kind of dinner or something
yes.
like that. No, that would make a lot of sense. I'd never heard that, but I will remember that one.
I don't know where I got it from.
Yeah. So, like many Ithacans, you know, you are a recent migrant to the area.
Yep.
What brought you here?
I came here for work, and more than anything for love. My husband is in Ithaca and he works here, so that kind of brought me here.
And how has the transition been moving from Harlem to Tiny Town, or what was we had a columnist who used to call Ithaca Tiny Town, or it's often we all refer to it as the Little Apple because demographically we have some similarities with the metro area.
Sure. Yeah. There's been some moves before Harlem. Harlem was a little while away now.
Right. Did you go to college there?
No. I went to college in Pennsylvania. So I went to Villanova. Woohoo, go Wildcats. We won yesterday.
And you stay in touch.
I sure do.
Yeah.
I am a proud Villanovan.
And what did you do between college and now?
I worked in Pennsylvania for a little bit in Bluebell. And then I also worked in the city for a little bit. And then I came to Ithaca. So been a little bit of movement. And the transition here is just—it's been interesting. It's been—it's been an uphill transition.
And what has been a challenge about that?
Well, I've just always been pretty close to major cities,
right?
And to not be close to a major city is pretty interesting. I mean, an hour away to me is not—it's not that close, but we're an hour away from Syracuse,
right? But Syracuse still is not the kind of major urban area that Philadelphia or New York City is.
Yes.
What is it that you miss? What is it that you just kind of either feel at a loss for or just can't find here?
I really miss the randomness. I went to school in the Village, and anything really went there. Mm-hmm. And so here to see people a little more reserved or I know homely sometimes is a bad word, but more homely is just pretty interesting.
Or back 40 years ago, more granola it would have been on some level.
I remember when I first used to visit Ithaca, there was this guy, and he used to hang out on the commons, and he used to dance. As soon as it got to a certain time at night, he would just start dancing, and he just reminded me of the Village in New York City so much. I don't know what happened to him, but I wish he'd come back. That's bad. I don't want to come back from my entertainment.
But there are things you're attached to and ways of living that we're attached to that we miss.
Sure.
They're hard to give up. They come with some cost. They tell us how far we've moved from where we started. Yours was an interesting experience in the city. You grew up in Harlem. You went to school in the Village. What was the school in the Village?
Humanities Prep.
Okay. Yes. So yeah,
really tiny school, but a really good school.
Yeah. So you did. You spanned many different dimensions of Manhattan, not just in the subway ride, but in all sorts of ways.
Yep. And most New Yorkers, I feel, do. Mm-hmm. If you grow up in New York, you're going to go to Brooklyn. You're going to go to Queens. You're going to move about a little bit.
Right. You have a good visual association with the city. And I always found, coming from the Midwest, I tended to be, TMI or just a little bit too available and out there. But you get to know people. New Yorkers aren't as stodgy as they're made out to be if you approach them kind of at the right angle. And so when I was living in New York, I got to know lots of people living in the Bronx near the zoo and the botanical gardens and commuting into Manhattan and working, going to school and stuff. I get your story.
Definitely. I get that. And I'm not opposed to smaller towns. I mean, I have been to Rockford, Illinois, which I loved, even though it was a really tiny town. Yep.
And it's an old manufacturing town.
Yeah, but the people were great there. Mm-hmm. And so I have moved about a little bit, and I like different areas.
Yeah.
But as a place to live, I need to just be more open or get used to living in different places. That's all.
Right. It takes time. And one of the things, you've been here 2 years, and really it takes at least 2 years to make a move, to go through the seasons twice to kind of figure out what's here versus what your reaction to here is.
Sure.
And there's a difference. Yeah.
And in all honesty, I feel like it's just now that I'm starting to get used to Ithaca and being able to say, okay, this is home.
right.
So you are right.
yeah, no, that's, yeah, yeah. That's right. That's right. So, you know, let's cut to some of your music. What would you like to play next?
Sure.
You brought quite a. I'm gonna. While you're thinking about it, you brought quite an eclectic collection of what I would call girl music, and it's black and white and Etta James and it's like it's neat and it's an. I was enjoying listening to it. So yeah,
hanging out with all the ladies.
Yeah, and it's got some attitude.
I guess we could do No Doubt Running.
Okay. Let me just see here. I've got to find it, and we got it, and so here it is. And do you want to say anything to introduce it?
This was just my anthem.
This was
a couple
your
of years ago. Okay. I used to listen to this song every morning. So on a morning like this, why not?
At about this time.
Yes.
With you right by my
And that was No Doubt and Running. And our guest this morning on the Made of Clay Report is Sarah Court. And Sarah, so I just, you know, I'd like to kind of hear, you have been trying to find your place here in this community in the last 2 years. And you've explored some work options, and you're in the midst, just, I guess you're still doing that, or you've just kind of settling into that?
Settling into that, but still in the previous.
And that has a lot, kind of a life of its own, especially when you're in your 20s and you're trying to figure out, what does the shape of my career look like? What does the shape of my relation, you know, marriage or family life look like? Because all that stuff is really just kind of at the beginning. But also there's a whole other set of issues which you care about. How do you keep your life kind of whole, balanced by these things, not just work, not just your relationship with your husband, but how do you, what are the issues that you care about, and how are you discovering them here in Ithaca? Or are you?
I'm working on it, and I feel that as time progresses, things get better. So I love to work out, mm-hmm. and I just love... I love to do that, and mm-hmm. in this area, we've recently been invited to do a free yoga, which is great and unheard of uh-huh. in places that I used to live in.
Right,
and just cool little things like that are pretty neat. Mm-hmm. Swimming and running, and where I'm really interested in buying a bike.
Right,
so I love that about this area, and it's a part of me, and the fact that it's so ingrained in this area. People in this area are pretty mobile in terms of working out or hiking or running.
Right, taking advantage of the out of doors.
Sure.
Yeah. You come from a family from the West Indies, right?
I do.
And you had kind of a non-stereotypic upbringing in terms of your fishing and this stuff that you were telling me about.
Yeah.
And that's kind of part of who you are.
Definitely.
Do you want to say anything more on that?
I am definitely Caribbean. It's funny because people make fun of me and they say, you're American, you're not Caribbean, because I wasn't born there. But I've just been there so many times and identify with the people on so many levels. I'm really excited because in a week and a half, in 10 days, I'm going to Jamaica.
Right.
And so it's going to be pretty awesome to escape the fog and the gray in Ithaca, because that... that's been something that's been really hard. Mm-hmm. It gets pretty gray here.
Right.
This winter, I would take the snow any day over gray days. Last winter was just gray.
right. And we have a horrendously high number of cloudy, overcast days here in Ithaca, and it's really hard. It's hard on people.
And just... Growing up with my family, it was always nice because sometimes, like, we would escape. We'd go, you know, back to Jamaica and we'd go in the winter, mm-hmm. or we'd go just somewhere. We'd go to Florida or something in the winter just to say, like, there's sun. Maybe someplace else, not here, but the sun is round.
Right, and it's while it's somewhat isolated here, it's nowhere near as isolated as it was 40 years ago. You can still fly out of here or Syracuse or Rochester and get to where you want to go fairly quickly.
Yeah. I'm really happy that the Ithacan Airport is still here. I know that there were some talks with, like, budget cuts last year about it not being here anymore.
I didn't realize they were that serious.
I don't know how serious they were or not either, but just the talks of it were scary enough.
I understand. Yeah.
So in terms of things that I'm interested in or mm-hmm. things that matter to me, mm-hmm. definitely be, well, for me personally, working out. For me personally, mm-hmm. having a retreat out of the gray sometimes.
Right.
For me personally, the people around me. Socially or in a more on a larger scale, of course, it would be like issues of hunger and issues of poverty and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. And have you found those networks here locally to kind of connect with that care about those issues? Or
I have. I won't say that I've been as involved as mm-hmm. I would like to be, mm-hmm. but I have come across people who were interested in, or I should say, are interested in those areas. And making a difference.
And this is an activist kind of town, so there are lots of people. You just have to find the particular cause and the particular network where it feels like it has integrity for you.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how do you see yourself changing? This is when you're in your 20s, it's a start. What do you want to have experienced? What do you want to have come to know over the next 5 to 10 years?
Okay. I feel that the the past 5 years has been so dramatic and so crazy and so mm-hmm. just different. I mean, this year will make 4 years since I graduated from college.
Right. Yeah.
And so things have been just very different in that sense.
And those are the years that people make their biggest moves and transitions and yes. oftentimes commitments. Yeah, yeah.
And so for the next 5 to 10 years, I don't even know what to expect or to imagine. Hopefully all great things. I definitely hope to settle in some sort of a career instead of to be in this wandering state.
Right.
I definitely hope to have done some more traveling. I hope to have done something meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And meaning, what do you mean? What would be meaningful? What are the kinds of things that you find meaningful?
Well, I grew up, like you mentioned that this is an activist town, and I grew up sort of in that sense. Mm-hmm. I lived in Costa Rica where I helped endangered turtles, that sea turtles that were on the beach. I was volunteer of the year in 2006. I did a lot of volunteering and a lot of work in that realm
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in my younger days.
Right. No, I know. And I know you say that certain tongue in cheek, but that's still part of who you are.
Sure. And yeah. So I hope to be back in that frontier a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it shouldn't be that difficult in this area, but just a lot of life changes really slows you down. I mean, a mm-hmm. big move, a marriage.
And it both slows you down and it deepens you.
Yeah.
In a way, it plows through you very, very deeply and can leave you in the long run more grounded because it has been so deep, and it can leave you with a greater sense of what you will and will not do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you really learn about yourself and a lot of those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, moving to a new area, what do you like to do? Like, what, just because you did something back home doesn't right. mean that it's necessarily something that you're going to want to do in your new area.
Right. Right. And have you been surprised by what you've learned about yourself in the last 2 years?
Yes.
And what has surprised you?
I knew that I was a people person and I loved people before,
mm-hmm.
but nothing gave me that sort of appreciation of others and the respect for humanity and other people than moving to a new area where I don't know anybody and where people are sort of have formed their relationships, where a lot of the population is either older and married with children,
right.
or college students, and so it's been a very unique displacement, I would say,
right.
to be in this community where you don't really fit unless you shake everything that you thought about yourself or about other people out of your head
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
really, you know, start to learn about people and identify people across ages and neighborhoods and mm-hmm. whatever else.
Right. My demography head is kind of running through this. You know, you've moved into a community that's only 5% African American. And that's, you know, that's different from where you've been. You've moved into a community where that's 10% graduate students who are roughly in your age zone, but you're here as a permanent, as a not a temporary move, but as possibly a permanent move, mm-hmm. as a professional.
Yeah,
but you're in that age cohort, but you're not a grad student.
And the grad students want nothing to do with you.
And yet you're not as old as the other kind of professionals who've been around here for a long time, and there are about 70,000 residents that are kind of permanent folks, and a lot of them often are older, and there's an increasing retiring population here too.
Yes.
So it looks grayer than other places.
Yes.
Yeah. So. I can see exactly what you're saying. It's a big contrast.
It's a big contrast.
What should we go to next in your music selection?
I guess we could do a little listen.
Okay.
By Beyonce.
Yes.
By way of Dreamgirls.
Right. And so, and here we go.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within, it's only beginning to find relief. Oh, the time has come for my dreams to be heard. They will not be pushed aside and turned into your own, all 'cause you won't listen.
You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, and this is the Made of Clay Report, and our guest is Sarah Court, and that was Beyonce and Listen from the motion picture Dreamgirls. Sarah, you were saying that women have a different voice now,
yes.
and it's heard in different ways, and How have you seen that in your life in the 25 years you've been here?
Yeah. Yeah. This song, it you can really hear a different voice, a different person sort of emerging. Mm-hmm. And I feel that even though I'm sort of green to the earth, I've felt that, and I've felt what this song means or represents. I know that when I was getting married, my mom was like, okay, you have to make your husband happy. You have to make him happy. And I was like, okay. And then when I got married, I'm like, what? Like, this is difficult. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I need to make me happy. How am I going to be happy? And it's just been really a balance between, you know, when you're in a relationship, you have to be a leader sometimes and then sort of subservient at sometimes. And I don't mean that in a negative way.
Right. No, you have to step back.
Yes.
The power has to go from one to the other at times.
Yes. And in this day and age where women have so much more power, mm-hmm. And we do demand to be listened to, you know, as mm-hmm. as the song belts out. It's great, and it's really a beautiful thing because relationships are way more balanced. And I know there was a New York Times article on Friday that was talking about
the egalitarian relationship article.
Yes, yeah. And it was a pretty good article. I know they were talking about some other themes, but. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that the balance in a relationship changes the dynamic in so many ways was pretty interesting to me.
Right, right. And sense of how do we hold on to our identity? How do we maintain a kind of a sexual passion with each other as our relationship changes over time?
Yes.
And yeah, and what I hear you saying and what the article seemed to say but didn't hit very hard was that couples who have a more flexible notion of power, mm-hmm. and one has it and the other has it at different times in different ways, and you can, it's a dance, and balance isn't being frozen around the middle, mm-hmm. which is what some people think of as a compromise, you know, finding the midpoint. That very rarely produces much in the way of a passionate or vigorous life, but balance that can swing around that middle and demonstrably swing around that middle so nobody's losing unfairly too much of the time. Yeah, that's that was what I took away from that article. I think that's what you're saying.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Cool. So you have had to learn how to take your mom's advice and incorporate it into a new generation and a new time.
Yes.
And that's forcing you to change. I think, you know, we have raised a generation of children as individuals, and they're going to have to learn how to balance it to be couples or families in a way that we didn't learn that in the past, particularly for young women. How else have you changed? How do you say you've changed? It's been a real experience moving away and since college, but how have you changed? What inside the core of you has changed?
I think when you move away, I've moved a couple of times, like I've mentioned, and mm-hmm. each time has brought with it some different themes about myself. But this time, I feel like my core was kind of just uprooted completely, and turned inside out, and I needed to put it back together the way I wanted to. And I say that in terms of religion, in terms of things I like to do, in terms of who I am as a person. And what I mean by that is what I like to do, who I like to be, the type of person I like to reflect to the world.
Right, and part of who we are is just simply who we are, but the other part is the context we put ourselves in. And mm-hmm. you don't have any familiar context.
No.
It's all gone.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so piecing that back together, the first part was sort of a religious theme mm-hmm. in terms of, okay, I know that I believe in God, and I know that I've had a strong relationship with God, and that's come through religion. And mm-hmm. my mother is very religious. My grandmother, my uncle's a pastor. And so our family's kind of very religious. And so that was the first thing, was if I get that piece together, then maybe mm-hmm. everything else will fall in place. Hasn't really been the case, in terms of finding a church or really, you know, finding something like that back home that would root me here.
Right. There is no back home here.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's that's been an interesting process, mm-hmm. and just finding that. So finding that, what is that?
What is that? What is it that you're seeking that you're not finding in the religious realm? This is not a real religious area, and there's not a lot of diversity in some ways in the religious practice here.
Yeah. I grew up in a church home,
mm-hmm.
and what that means is just our church was really community oriented, really a family church,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and people sort of always could call each other or would call each other,
right.
if there were stressful things happening or if you needed anything, you knew that there was somebody that was willing to talk to you or that would be helpful to you. And it was a very Afro-Caribbean church.
Right.
Very.
It was your community and you could count on them.
Yes. And so here in Ithaca, it's been a little different. I find that there are black churches, but
right.
nothing quite like good old Bronx Baptist.
Right, right. Not an Afro-Caribbean church.
Exactly.
Right.
So
right.
it's been interesting to find that. And so, I mean, it's really pushed me within myself to say, okay, how do I want to worship or who do I want to be
mm-hmm,
at
mm-hmm.
home? And then how do I do that with my husband? Because that's new too. So how do we do that? You know, and it's been really interesting.
And what is his religious background?
The same.
Okay.
The
okay.
same. We grew up in the same church.
Okay. Okay. So yeah. So he knows what you're talking about.
Exactly.
And knows what you miss, even though he may not share it in the same way.
Oh no, not at all.
Yeah. No, I know. And I think it's really important. Religion comes from a Latin word religare, which means to religament, to mm-hmm. bind together that which is torn apart, and that gets at a lot of things. It gets at the notion of forgiving when things get torn apart and you have to put them back together again. It gets at the notion of building your life when it gets kind of blown apart. But it also gets at the notion of structure,
mm-hmm.
and there's a quality of church. And I used to say that I was raised in the Christian Church,
okay.
Disciples of Christ, which is the tradition I come from. And one of a Cornell professor said, that's not literally true. You weren't raised in a church. but I was raised in a social network that was so strong and so reliable that I couldn't, if I got, like, I got stopped for doing something silly with the car, playing leapfrog with a friend on the road in the middle of the night. And before I got home in 15 minutes, my mother already knew that I'd gotten a ticket. You know, it was like, this is a community where they know who you are and they look after you, and there was just it's both intimidating, but it's also secure when you need people to lean into.
Definitely.
And that's, I hear what you're talking about, is that churchly structure is not around. But there's also the flip side of that is the internal spiritual structure.
Mm-hmm.
And how is that going in terms of, because even that gets uprooted in a move like this.
It does. And it's really interesting to also be around people who are not of faith or that are not like-minded, because mm-hmm. you are challenged in a way that you really haven't been challenged before if people start asking questions.
What do you mean by challenged by the differences? How do the differences how do they present themselves to you as a challenge? How do you experience them as a challenge?
it's usually only a challenge if there are people who ask questions about religion who mm-hmm. are not a faith. I don't find myself to be an evangelist. I don't find myself to be out to convert anybody mm-hmm. at all. And as a result, you have some folks who that's their experience of people who identify with themselves as Christians or believers. Right. And they'll ask questions that are particularly challenging in terms of, okay, I'm not really prepared for this question. I don't really know how to answer this because I don't want to convert you, but I don't want to turn you away from religion. Ooh. And so that's been sort of my experience. Other folks who are just agnostic or atheist or who don't believe and don't really find the need to sort of ask me questions about my religion or my faith.
Or to challenge you in that sense.
That makes me more settled because mm-hmm. you have your belief and I have my belief and we can coexist without there being sort of problem.
Right. And what you've actually hit upon is a serious issue here is that because in this community we've tended to coexist alongside each other and not really know each other very well. Mm-hmm. We don't know how to talk. We're pretty ignorant about each other's personal practices in this particular region, kind of isolated into our niche groups that know each other well and share things, but we don't know each other well. There's a tremendous amount of there's a lot of stereotypical formal knowledge among non-religious folks about religion, but it's not very practical. It's not how it's experienced from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And ignorance is on the other side. Religious folks don't really understand the internal practices and the internal habits and ways of thinking about things in non-religious atheists, agnostics folks, because we largely don't talk. And when we ask questions, the questions are barbed in such a way as to kind of have a zing to them, and then you've got to figure out, how do I unpack this zing without sounding like I'm trying to beat you over the head with my reverse zing? And it just makes it very awkward.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I feel that I often say this with really close people that I think because this area it's so liberal that it's conservative in its liberalism.
Right.
And so I guess I've just fallen into that here for fear of stepping on too many toes because this area is just so small.
and well, to some extent, right. And because there is this kind of PC patina that runs over this place, you know, if you aren't really careful, then you're not really, or if you're not out in the particular way that we're out, then you're not acceptable. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it's tough.
Yeah. As most humans do, we sort of conform in the ways that we can and mm-hmm. stay away from the ways that we can.
Right, right. And this is a good time to move to some music. What would you like to go for next?
We can play God in Me is so fitting for right now.
Okay. And I don't know if do you want to play on your version?
Sure. Here,
let me give you the device, and you will put that up, and we will go for it.
Behind closed doors, man, you hit the floor, and what they can't
And that was The God in Me. And the artist is Kira Kiki Sheard and Mary Mary. Okay, so you're listening to Made of Clay Report, and our guest in this hour is Sarah Court. And Sarah, as you're making this transition, one of the questions that I like to end the show on is to hear, what do you do to try to maintain your sense of balance and equilibrium? And you may just be learning those things, so what are you discovering about your need to take care of yourself emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, physically, so that you are like fully present and accounted for and ready for life? You know, what do you do to try to make that happen? And what are you learning that you need that you didn't know before?
I'm really learning how important that is. And it's really important to just stay focused on who you are, what you need to do so that you are, as you mentioned, you know, fully alert, prepared for life, and just ready to go. Growing up, I achieved a black belt in karate. I went up to get my second dan, and the mental preparation that that took was just incredible. And I didn't realize how much of a part of my life that was until I got older and that wasn't there, and I didn't have that dojo, that studio. And
you didn't have to go there, so you didn't necessarily know to do it yourself.
Exactly. And so I'm really learning now about the mental preparation that it takes to do whatever it is that that you do, or that helps you find balance or peace as you go about your day. And so it's been really just interesting.
What kinds of things do you, some people walk, some people read, some people meditate, some people exercise. What kind of things do you do to kind of get yourself back in that space?
I feel like nobody else knows this about me, so to be sharing it right now.
Okay. Well, don't go there if you don't want. I mean,
I really like to lay on the floor.
Uh-huh.
And it sounds really strange, but I feel grounded. I feel at peace. I feel like I can really think. I feel like I can really be when I'm laying on the ground.
Okay, right, and there is a relaxation exercise that people often do, where you lay flat on your back on your ground with your legs, with your arms at your side and your knees up, so that your back is comfortable, and then you just kind of melt into the ground and you just become aware. That's a very powerful exercise.
Yeah.
When I was 25, what I did was I would dance in a fairly large empty room, and that would be how I would get in touch with what I needed, letting go of the anger, letting go of the, and kind of sensing where the passion was and where the loss was and where the hope was, as I would kind of work through these dance moves that I was making up as it was going on. It was just a really neat way to stay grounded in my body.
Yeah. Wow.
You also describe having a need to have a discipline, kind of a routine discipline.
Yeah.
Have you been able to put that in place, or is that just something you're still thinking about?
That's something that I'm still thinking about and finding right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been challenging, but it's been sort of a nice little Alice in Wonderland trying to find out where that is. Mm-hmm. I've really enjoyed swimming lately. It makes me really happy to have that.
Cool. One of the things that about a third to half of the guests do report that they need something of a regular discipline. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't always do it, they need to have that structure in the back of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then another half or more of the guests talk about they just try to cultivate being aware of when things seem out of balance, that they need to then do something so that they can adopt the practice when it's needed rather than have a set structure. I don't think there's a right way or a wrong way, but I think we have different personalities that some of us need to do things in a very... I get up and I read the paper every morning first thing for half an hour, 45 minutes. That's one of my disciplines.
That's
and
great.
I feel connected to the world. And I do that almost daily, and I feel like things aren't right if I don't do it. I have that kind of a need for order. And other things happen more when I feel things spin a little out of control, if I remember, and if I I don't remember, I usually regret it. But yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty great. I used to read in the mornings mm-hmm. also. That used to be a really big practice of mine. But mm-hmm. just lately, I feel like the paper isn't as accessible. I'm a feel girl. Like,
you got to have the paper in your hands. Yes. You can't read it online.
I mean,
and it's the New York Times, I bet.
Yes. I mean, these days I take what I can get, and right. so I'm reading it online. But I really like the feel, the mm-hmm. smell, mm-hmm. the whole thing of like the yeah. newspaper.
Yeah. And it's gotten pricey to buy it every day.
Yeah, yeah. It really yeah. has. Yeah. And then, you know, finding delivery for yeah, it. Yeah, is
well,
also...
you're not going to find it. It's not reliably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Sarah, it has been wonderful getting to know you a little bit.
Yes, thank you.
And we're going to close with Kelly Clarkson's Stronger, another yes. one of your girl picks. do you want to say anything about that before we go there?
I love Kelly Clarkson and her story, and just coming from American Idol to be who she is now. It's yeah. it's pretty great and inspiring for anybody, and this song is pretty great.
Okie doke. Oops, hold. And this is Kelly Clarkson, Stronger.
Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes a fighter. What's that even lighter? Doesn't mean I'm over, 'cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, stronger. Just me, myself, and I. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes a fighter. Footsteps even lighter. Doesn't mean I'm over, 'cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you makes you
And that was Kelly Clarkson, and you're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, W201 CD in Lansing.